This is CliffCentral.com.
Warm welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform from 12 to 3 p.m. I'm Adrian Groenewald and two special panel members with me. Before I introduce our guest, Alice Mnyandu, welcome again.
Thanks, Adrian. It's a pleasure to be here.
He had such wisdom to impart last week, and we felt the freedom on his shoulders that we invited him back.
Wisdom? I just like talking sometimes.
You were brilliant. And then Louis Groenewald, of course. Welcome, Louis.
Good to be here.
I'll introduce our special guest for the Leadership Masterclass in a moment. Of course, transformation is all about leadership, and our country needs it. The world needs it, in fact. Businesses, politics, sports, we personally need it, I think. And to get that going, leadership is the key factor, and that's why the first hour of the three-hour block is called the Leadership Masterclass. In the first half hour, we'll have a Leadership Master Lesson by Prof. Veldsmann. We'll take him on, we'll challenge him, we'll discuss with him. He's a prof at UJ University, and we're going to talk about debunking leadership myths. And the second half, we zoom in on our very special guest, which is the MTN of SA, the SA MTN CEO, Mteto Nyati. And he's our special guest also on our panel in the first half hour master lesson. Welcome, Mteto.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's really great to have you here. Illustrious career. The more I read about it, the more excited I was that he's going to be our special guest. And then we have our business masterclass from 1 to 2:30. And the first half hour is a business skills development conversation with USB Executive Development. Today we talk about working on your business versus working in your business. Very relevant to SME owners. And then the second half hour slot of the business masterclass, we have Arthur Wade Anderson from Got Game with us in the studio. Fascinating business. They are literally including or creating structures that includes our under-resourced areas in the country into the economy. I'm very impressed with that. And at 2 to 2:30, we open the floor for our SME audience. So we'll have a live SME audience sitting and watching and listening to the our business masterclass. And then we ask them questions, and they pitch their business for 30 seconds. So they have the opportunity to pitch their business before they engage the panel. And then 2:30 to 3 p.m., finally, our leadership and education conversation with Dr. Anthea Caresto. She is from Parktown Girls High, and we'll talk about planning in a successful school. So that's it. That's our lineup for 3 hours. For all things leadership, go to leadershipplatform.com, two P's in the middle, leadershipplatform.com. You can send us messages via WeChat. Next up, our Leadership Masterclass.
The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company. At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy. We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's welcome Prof. Veldsmann from UJ on the line, and then we have our full panel here. Prof, welcome.
Thank you very much, Adrian, for having me, and also afternoon to the listeners.
And we have a fantastic panel. Gentlemen, that's it. We're going to talk about debunking leadership myths, and the Prof will lead us. Again, Teto, great to have you with us. You're our special guest. He's going to share some leadership myths he believes exists. Maybe you have thought of some. I thought of at least three, and there's probably many more. And let's just talk about that until our half hour is up. We're sort of at the beginning of the year. I thought we were still at the beginning of the year. The truth is we're already in Feb. It's crazy. But let's go for it. Let's talk about some of those myths, Prof, and then see if the panel could add value to some of your observations.
Yeah, Adrian, thanks very much, and also afternoon to the panel. I think, you know, firstly, just the myth. The problem with a myth is it distorts our picture, our true picture, in this case, of leadership. So it's important to debunk the myths. Mm. And I just want to put five on the table. As Adrian, you said, there are probably more. The first one is the myth that says leadership is better than management, in the sense that, you know, leadership is the thing one should aspire to. Leadership is about the dream, it's about the legacy, the exciting promised land we want to go to. But management is all about getting people on the wagons and give them food and make sure they've got clothes to undertake the journey. So if you don't have people on wagons and people looking after the wagons, forget about the promised land. The first one is, it is a myth to say that leadership is better than management. You need both.
Okay, and so let's, before we go on to the second myth, we could do it myth by myth. So panel, do you agree that that's a myth, or do you actually think leadership is more important than management? Any comments? Mteto, let's start with our special guest. Is that a myth we have to debunk?
Look, my sense is that you do need leadership. You know, you need the people who would think big, would come up with a vision and all of that. But none of that will ever be possible, you'll ever be able to realize if you do not have the ability to turn that into reality. So you need management. So it's going to be a combination of the two. But management without leadership can really also be a problem. So for me, I would say that from an important standpoint, I would say I place a higher importance with regards to leadership, but without management, that leadership is of no use.
So if you had to prioritize then you'd put leadership on top.
Yes.
Okay, Louis and Alice, very quickly.
Agree fully with Mteto. I would say that it becomes important only when the management understanding lacks a leadership understanding and vice versa. But really, there's a lot of unnecessary debate about that. It's not necessary. You shouldn't try and shoot down either one of them.
Make them compete with each other. I mean, it's like a mother and a father in a home. It shouldn't be competition. It's one team.
That's a unit. Yeah. Look, I think Teto is 100% right. His comments remind me of something that was said by someone that, you know, management is always focused on doing the right things, yet leadership is focused on doing things right, you know. And I think you need both. Often it is the case that, you know, where there are deficiencies when organizations run into trouble, it's not because of management, it's because of leadership. So leadership, I think, always comes first.
Prof, there we are. You want to push back? What I hear is, yes, let's debunk that. But it seems if one had to choose, leadership seems to be, I don't know, a little bit high on the hierarchy of importance.
I would say they're equally important.
Okay.
I mean, the saying is we over-managed and under-led. I think nowadays we over-led and under-managed. So the execution falls flat. I mean, look at how many strategies are proposed, the big picture, but never are given hands and feet. We'd never arrive in the promised land. And I would prescribe that, amongst other things, not only to leadership not following through, but also not putting proper management in place.
All right.
Maybe just to come in here, maybe we may agree that it is also situational, you know. At this time, for example, in our country, as much as we need leadership, but we need execution, for example, in South Africa right now. But at a different time, we may be needing more of leadership, you know.
And if both are weak, you're really in big trouble. Okay, what's the next myth? Let people make it
clear. The next myth is a very common one. Leaders are born, not made. And the assumption of this myth is leaders arrive in the world already made. They are ready to take up the leadership role. At most, if you do any leadership development, it is about the hard skills, the hard competencies. Well, otherwise, if you do put people through some leadership development, it's really to panel beat them, so to speak, into acceptability in their weak areas. So what happens in this myth, to my mind, is potential is equated to proven ability and competence. Potential is only that, potential. It has to, through development, and it's not only classroom, experiential, it's coaching. There's a range of these things need to be actualized.
Okay, so the myth is leaders are born, not made. Man, that myth just stays, and it's a interesting one. Gentlemen, comments, who wants to jump first? Is that a myth we need to debunk?
I think it's one of the most powerful myths, because I think we can see throughout history that leaders, you know, often emerge, you know, from a crucible, you know, having gone through a refining moment. It's like forging steel. You have to have experiences that will bring the best out of you to take on the mantle of leadership.
Seems to be a misunderstanding about this whole thing as well. I mean, the truth is, I meet CEOs, I literally do, who say leaders are born. I just try and find those leaders who are born, you know, who have it inside of them. And if you really talk to them in more depth, you find out that they actually agree it's born and made. In my view, we're all born. Firstly, okay, you can't get onto this planet without being born. And then you cannot, I mean, Mandela, yes, he had that instinct, that gift inside of him, that destiny, call it whatever you want, even a spiritual destiny. But ultimately, he had to be forged. He had to be made as well. Mteto?
I absolutely agree with that. My sense is that most of the time, it's the circumstances that make people, you know, to be who they are, the kind of leader that they are. Mandela was born under certain circumstances, and operating under that made him the kind of person he is. You know, as much as he may have some qualities that stand out, but the time at which he operated made him the kind of person he is.
Okay, if you're just joining us, that's the voice of CEO SA, MTN SA, Mteto Nyati, our special guest, Louis Groenewald.
Arjun, just to give substance to the prof's idea of debunking that, from our point of view, years of meeting top leaders is that, in effect, if you say they're born and not made, you're really doing, say, they don't need nourishment. Now, our...
You're really saying to say that again?
That leaders don't need nourishment. Now, our experience is, in the modern environment, if you're not nourished on a daily basis, spiritually, and of course mentally, etc., then you're in trouble. Whatever you're born with, depending how you define it, you lose it. So, therefore, you need to be nourished. So the argument of the born doesn't really come into it from that point of view. You need to be nourished all the time to keep your leadership skills alert and your management skills as well.
If I use the comparison of a seed, inside that seed is the potential to grow into a great tree. But it has to be nourished. It has to be given water. It has to be given good soil, all of that. So it kind of comes together. All right, Theo?
I just want to, you know, typically what you said about CEOs, you know, I'm looking for born leaders. They typically reduce a person as a leader to being charismatic. You know, they've got the kind of personality. But if you look at the work from Good to Great from Jim Collins, he said the level five, these are really mature leaders leading big organizations. With the profile of those people are not charismatic. They are humble people. They know what they want to achieve. Sometimes they're not even in the spotlight, but they've got good, solid experience and wisdom and intuition to lead. And that comes with experience.
All right, next on. Next myth.
The third myth for me is this whole thing that if you're appointed to a post, a role, which requires leadership, you're automatically a leader. It will kind of spontaneously come through. Really, the myth here is saying that go get into a job and you'll be a leader. But leadership, and this is debunking the myth, is a choice. I choose to be a leader and I choose to be a good leader, and I'm going to do whatever is required to make me a good leader. It is not automatically coming with a job description.
So the moment I appoint Alice as the manager of a department, I almost appoint the leadership team as well, and now suddenly he can lead. All right, Alice, your view?
I think, you know, it really depends on where in the continuum of your life as, you know, as an emerging leader, that appointment gets made. Because then your background should speak to your capacity to take on the responsibility that appointment would entail for you. I mean, we've seen organizations implode, I think, based on this particular myth, whereby someone who just happens to have spent 30 years within the business, it's thought of that, you know, he's accumulated that much capacity to then lead the organization. But, you know, often the appointment happens at the time when the context has changed. You know, this person is probably mostly married to, you know, processes and the bureaucratic structures that, you know, he often would say, this is how we've done it, this is how we do it, and cannot evolve with time to take on that responsibility.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, in my own experience, I've found that, leaders can be at any level of the organization. It does not necessarily mean that when you are a CEO, you are a leader all the time. For example, I found that in many instances within my professional life that although I may have been a leader officially having the role, but depending on the kind of projects that you are doing or initiatives, various people within the organization become leaders, and I'm not the leader in that instance. So again, yeah, I agree with the prof. It's not really about the role.
Mm. Okay, Louis, last comment.
Just to add to what Ellis was saying, and I just want to emphasize the importance of the word leadership is a choice. I think it's a very important word because, quite frankly, all your ability in the world won't help you, Ellis. It won't kick in until you must see leadership as your first profession. The passion must be there, or else it just doesn't click in. So the training, yes, the background is vital, but you must choose to be the leader, or else you're going to fail.
Otherwise, you just took the promotion for more money, more status, more whatever reasons may be. But that is, you said it well there earlier, we often appoint people because of their technical ability and having so much experience. And then suddenly when they leap into that next level and it requires a depth of leadership that they totally underestimated, then the company comes down. And you've been reporting on businesses for years and years, Alice. You've seen this happen. All right, the next number 4 out of 5, and then we can shout in.
Yeah, can I just make a comment on that one about it doesn't come automatically? There's an inverse way dynamic also that debunks this myth, and that is you don't have to be appointed to a formal role to take up leadership.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
The fees must fall, a campaign. People out on the streets, there was leadership there. So it's when you choose to be a leader in a situation under certain circumstances. The next myth is this one, the great, and the is in caps, is the great leader will save the day. In a sense, the panel's already started moving into debunking this myth, is that there's this leader that comes like a savior, a messiah down the mountain, or maybe sometimes from whatever heaven, is this supposed to be and will save the day. The world has become too complex, too changing. It is a very short-term kind of solution. You need a shared leadership that switches depending on the circumstances. It's actually the leadership capital that you've got in your organization. The amount of that will save the day, not the leader.
So the leader will save the day. That's a myth. Nteto?
I agree again 100% with this one that to me this is a myth. If you look at the challenges that are facing both organizations and business and also the public sector today, you'll find that the people who are closest to the problems are not necessarily the leaders. They are, the ordinary employees somewhere there. And these are the people you need to be creating a space for them to be able to lead in addressing those problems. And we should be comfortable in those people leading, because they are the ones who have much deeper insights than everybody else around that problem.
But we make this mistake, don't we? MTN is going through tough times. Mteto comes in, he's going to save the day.
Yes.
There's no way you can do it.
Yes.
He's still human. Yeah. He's still human,
but
just like all of us.
Yeah. Just agree with it, but yes and no.
I also have a
if a top leader doesn't understand this, then you'll probably say, well, I can't. I haven't got the resources. I'm saying a vital part of leadership is to understand the principle and then to get the best out of people. So I'm just saying, yes, the principle is correct. But the added principle, it's a vital part. It's a core principle of a top leader to believe he can find a way to find the answer. Yes. In that sense, it's dependent on the top leader.
John, and let me
Adrian, if I may come in here, I just want to support Louis there. In the old days, management was defined getting things done through people. Nowadays, it's become getting things done with people,
yes,
and broader even with your stakeholders.
Good point. Now, I just want to say this. What I do know is that if an organization, a country or whatever, going through a really difficult time, when you replace a leader who does not have perceived credibility with someone who's got credibility, it will change the attitude immediately. But that's a temporary solution. So immediately people will have different conversations around the table, around dinner table if it's politics, and around their circles of friends. There'll be a hope. There'll be this hope immediately. But then if leadership across the structures don't kick in, if practical management doesn't kick in and systems and processes, then that hope just disappears like clouds before the sun. All right, the final leadership myth that you've got.
Adrian, can I just link a footnote quickly to this, the great leader? we've discussed in a positive sense, but there's quite a paradox in this myth, and that is that a bad leader in a critical position can cause havoc. In that sense, but then it's not the leader, it is a leader that's in a critical position and just causes really disarray and underperformance. The last myth is that leaders must merely adapt to their context. And this confuses the problem with this kind of myth is that we just adapt all the time as our circumstances, our context changes. And of course, that is the death call for organizations. Leaders must fit the context, but they must not adapt to a context.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I don't have an immediate view. Who wants to jump in?
I'd just like to say, sorry.
Yeah, you go ahead.
I'd just like to say that, you know, there's something about what leadership represents. Theo, I agree with you, Prof. There's a case here, though, that a leader, if he is perceived to lose his steel, his personality, his commitment to values, etc., then he's going to lose out, etc. So, therefore, what I'm saying is a person that adapts to circumstances all the time is really seen as a political leader. You don't respect him because he's going to bend and so much around. So you're looking for the steel that you respect in the process. And I believe all around we need that steel. And no matter how technically proficient you are, if the steel is not there, then you sense the body language speaks.
Okay, Teto?
Look, this is probably one of the most difficult ones because when I look around, I would say that most of the leaders that we have in general are the leaders that adapt to context. And we need more of the leaders that define that context or come up and they create their own future rather than just adapting to whatever is happening. We need more of that today.
So you must understand your context, then create your own context.
Yes,
in a way.
Can I come in, Adrian? I just want to fully endorse that. Mm-hmm. Is leadership is about the future. It means you're creating the future. So you can't merely stay in the present and adapt to that. Yes, but then you're wise in how you're going to achieve it. You're like a wise fox.
Yeah. All right, Alice?
I think it also boils down to how the person in the leadership position view or see themselves. You know, one thing I've often wondered about is that often good leaders don't go about saying, I'm a leader. It's often the followers that would confer the mantle on the person because of what they're able to do and what they're able to inspire them to do. So I think it's very important to look at who's following and also what, you know, do they understand the broader, you know, context through which that leader operates, and is there a connection between the two groups or a disconnect?
Adrian, may I just come in there? You've touched on a critical point there. Isn't that also a myth? We put leadership on a pedestal. It's all about leadership. But the myth in that is we then ignore the followers. And leadership is actually the interaction between institutions, groups, stakeholders that are willing, because they're convinced by what the leader stands for, to follow the leader. We place too little emphasis on followership relative to leaders. Without followers, no leadership.
Right. In fact, this is a very important point also in the context of our country, where people look at the politics and say people have the leaders they deserve, which again speaks to, you know, what context do the followers themselves operate in to be able to not to be able to determine, you know, the kind of leadership that can get things done the way they should.
Good point. All right, gents, 5 minutes left. Any other leadership myths you want to debunk? Teto, did you think of one or two or anything?
Yeah, I thought of one. One being, I keep hearing that leadership is about working smart rather than working hard. You know, and to me, you know, it sounds nice, all of that. But when I look at the leaders that are the most effective, the people that have changed things, and I look at how much hard they've worked, and to me, this working smart, I don't know what it means, but I see more of the working hard. You know, they lead by example. They lead from the front. You know, they set the tone, and that's the kind of leaders that change things. But to me, this is a challenge.
That is an interesting one. You know, working smart, not hard. Or you often hear, work smarter, not harder. Yeah, but I haven't met someone really successful that have changed the course of anything that didn't also work longer hours than everyone around them to a large degree.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know what we have learned, though. Speaking as an old man, Theo, yeah, is that the work itself, you know, to be a hard worker in itself is not necessarily the answer, obviously. But the ability to work things out, you know, that's tremendous. And that, of course, requires smart ability. But I've never seen a quality person who has the ability, the passion to work things out. And that doesn't mean just works. He works things out with a plan, with a goal, with a vision. So working things out is our greatest privilege in life, I think. And this determines your character and your destiny in life, too. How can you work things out?
Okay.
But can I maybe add a little other one? Is it still time for that, Adrian?
Yeah, quickly give us one. Yeah.
The one is that we have the myth that leadership looks the same at all organizational levels. So the recipe, success recipe that worked at one level, say middle management, now going to senior management, now go to become CEO, is exactly the same. And not understanding that as you make the transition from one level to another, the work requirements change, and I have to let go of certain things, and I have to embrace new things. So I have to question my competence as I enter into a new level.
Yeah, and some things are the same. I think there are universal elements, but things change dramatically in many ways, and you have to let go of some things. I have one. I am in this position to be served rather than to serve. Now, I often wish we could catch those young leaders, or those leaders who are put into positions early on, where they, for the first time, shall we say, lead a group of people, and there, catch them right there and say, right, what do you believe? Do you believe you are now going to be served, or do you believe you are going to serve? Now, this is not servant leadership. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a philosophical belief that takes you either in a direction this way or 180 degrees the other way, until one day it dawns on you when you're very senior that, gosh, I've been living with the wrong myth. I've been living with this myth, thinking now people must bring my coffee to me, and now, you know, I must be served. So anyone want to comment on that, or anyone believes it's not a myth?
I think it's a myth. I mean, that's what Mteta, I think, was referring to, working spider, not getting anything done, but just, you know, having people serve you. Look, from my part, I don't know if this is a myth or a truism. Once a leader, always a leader.
Interesting.
You can't. It's your assumption. Somebody made the point earlier of the context and the circumstances. Take Winston Churchill. On three occasions, he was rejected in Britain for a kind of call back then to serve the country.
Yeah, so
it's a function of the circumstances and context.
Yeah, but Theo, you're talking positional now. We're also saying at the same time that it's a decision. So if I've decided I'm a leader, then I don't need people to call me back into a position. I then am a leader wherever I go, in my family, in my social environment, in the sporting club, in my friendship circle. You know, if I've made that conscious decision, I don't need a position. So I would say, what did it say? Once a leader.
Once a leader, always
a truism.
It's a truism.
If you've decided it.
If
you've decided it.
Okay. Yeah. We had this discussion before, and I want to appeal again. You remember a while ago. And that is that if for the sake of our beautiful country, to give us a bright future, everybody must become a leader. It's in their hands. They must make the choice.
Yeah. Mm. Here's another one. I am more important because I am paid more and sit in a bigger office. A simple one, but honestly... Honestly, people believe this.
Did you listen to that giggle?
Yeah. But there's a belief that just because I am paid more, okay, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say I'm here to serve my people. I'm here. But why must leaders have bigger offices than people a few levels?
Yeah,
You know, and why am I more important because I am paid more and therefore can drive a nicer car?
I think it's reserved parking.
So I think it's a myth. I don't know. Anyone?
No, you'll find that most of the progressive organizations today, they are consciously working against that, meaning they're making sure that everybody has got open office, there's no reserve parking, you know, exactly on that point that, you know what, you happen to be a leader, but all of us are required to make this organization work.
Yeah.
You know?
Agree.
Okay. Dayton, do you have one more myth?
No.
I have one more. Can I give it to you? Title gives me power to lead more effectively. Title gives me power to lead more effectively. Now, we've spoken a little bit to this, but I believe title actually becomes a barrier because people treat you differently. They treat you nice. They say to you what they think you want to hear. They suck up to you, as some might say. You know, people are just not themselves around title. So we're all sitting here. We might all in this room, and I'm not saying it's the case, we might all believe Jacob Zuma is the worst president we've ever had. I promise you, if he walks into that through that door, will all rise and Mr. President, because the title is so important. So he will never know exactly how people feel about him in many respects. So title actually breaks down the reality in the environment. It changes the context. Mm. So instead of saying title helps me lead more effectively, I know there's benefits to it. You know, title can help you. Mm. Any comments on that finally before we close down this conversation?
Arden, just the danger of going to extremes. Now, you know me, I've never felt very strongly about titles, but the respect for the office is a golden thread that's important too. If you're a CEO, you need for the office to be respected. There's the difference between that one. So if you don't do that, then you lose order and discipline organization too. So you need respect. Like, for instance, the office of Theo here. Theo, your office is to bring this kind of nourishment to leadership so we can grow. So I respect that office and all the research is put into you and the people around you. So we must respect the office of a father, of a mother, and whatever the office may. Certainly the office of the CEO.
Okay.
Yeah, but then at the same time, you have to earn the respect of being in that position.
No, we
okay. All right, time up for that. Theo, thank you for joining us again. We look forward to being with you in a few weeks.
Enjoy the rest of the discussion. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, next up, we're going to interview a very interesting man and a fascinating background, Teto Nyati, the CEO of MTN SA, South Africa. Tough position, tough industry at the moment, a lot of resistance, a lot of challenges. It's not as easy as it used to be 10, 20 years ago. It is not, it requires real leadership, and I think we have a real leader sitting in front of us. So stay with us. We'll be talking to him, myself, Alice, and Louis, about his background and about his views on leadership a little bit more and how he's currently approaching his leadership position.
This is CliffCentral.com.